Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Let's go to Daryl. Daryl's brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Morning, guys.
All right. So where did this one end? I have a feeling I know where it ended, but where did it end for you?
The first interception.
The first interception?
Yeah. And then Dustin Hopkins put it away with the 13-point swing, the two missed kicks, and then, of course, the Steelers went down the field and scored a touchdown. So 13-point swing, 27, ball game. So,
well, see, that's interesting. I thought it actually ended with the second missed field goal is where it ended.
Yeah.
Because they seemed to have some fight left in them, and then that went out. The wind went out of the sails afterwards.
Yeah, and, you know, I honestly don't know how much more they're going to have in them the rest of the way. I mean, they are what they are. Listening to some of the post-game comments, they seem to really have an understanding of where they're at and, you know, what they've become this season. And, you know, Andrew Berry's going to have his work cut out for him in the offseason trying to fix this mess, because that's exactly what it is. It's a mess. It's not just one thing. You know, the rot runs deep, and, you know, there's a lot that's going to have to be gutted and repaired next offseason.
Well, we were obviously, over the last 3 weeks, talking about Jameis Winston and wondering if it was a no-brainer that he should be the starting quarterback week one next year. We've seen all that Jameis has to offer, the good and the bad. Do you think that would make sense for the Browns next year?
Yeah, and you're also seeing why I've been completely noncommittal about that. Because, I mean, he giveth, he taketh. Yesterday, he giveth to the Steelers. So, last week, he gave to the Broncos. He's the same player he's been for the last 10 years. It's not changed. He is entertaining. He represents the organization well, front-facing. You know, on the field, he is what he is. So it depends. You have to tell me, Anthony, what is your goal? What is your expectation next year? If your goal and expectation next year is that everything's going to be fixed and the team is going to contend again, I would say no. But if your goal is, hey, going through a retool phase here and going to need to make some drastic changes with the roster, and you just need a body, then fine. Absolutely. But it just, for me, it depends what the goals are next year and how realistic it is for them to be able to achieve them, considering the current state of the roster as well as the salary cap situation.
Darryl Rotter, brought to you by Shep. Boy, you guys all sound... I'm the only one who's mad. Everybody else is just resigned now
This point.
We are a bunch of sad bastards. You, Darryl, Lima, everybody is sad bastards today.
I'm not... Look, this has kind of gone the way I thought it was going to go. So I'm not surprised. There's nothing to be angry about. They are what they are. You know, I'm reading all this stuff of how they should play DTR, and I'm like, yeah, does that really matter at this point? I mean, you know what he is. If you didn't know what he was, you wouldn't have gone out and got Jameis Winston this year. So, like, I mean, just it is what it is. Of the five stages of grief, Ken, I'm at the acceptance stage.
You say I just want to, God, I don't even know. DTR is probably not good, right? But you said
right. We
know what he is. He's only started five games. How would you know somebody, especially in the NFL, where a lot of guys can emerge out of nowhere, can be drafted in any round, might not have the requisite.
You are clinging to Browns quarterback fantasy land that everyone's been clinging to.
Well, what have you
said,
Darryl? Have you seen him throw a lot in practice? Is there something you're basing this on, or is it just the?
I'm basing it on the five games I saw and the fact that the people in the building know what they've got.
Why was he the backup for that Cincinnati game? Why was he moved ahead of Jameis Winston?
We know what the public reason was, and that was that they had allegedly a package of plays, and I don't know necessarily that was a thing, because then I was able to get out of Kevin, well, he didn't get any first team reps, so how do you have a package for plays for a guy that didn't get any first team reps? You know what I mean? So, it doesn't matter who they start at quarterback at this point. I really don't care. If you want to put DTR out there to get slaughtered, go for it. If you want to stick with Jameis Winston and, you know, go for it. Like, it doesn't matter at this point.
But it sounds like you don't really think Jameis Winston could possibly be the starting quarterback next year. Based on your reaction here.
I mean, he could.
Or that he shouldn't.
It just depends what you're going for next year.
Ken, what are we going for next year?
He's not a winning quarterback.
Are we telling ourselves that we're going to run it back with the same group? What are we doing? Because I said it at the beginning of the show.
Ken, there's no way they can run it back.
Well, that's apparently what they're going to try to do. And I'm sitting there watching the game, and I wrote in all caps, what are we holding on to here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I was thinking roster, not coach front office.
I'm thinking all of it. Wait a minute. If we're going to keep the same front office, we're just going to get rid of all the players that the front office acquired?
That makes sense, right?
Exactly.
They did such a great job the last five off seasons.
Darryl, I'm not yelling at you, but I'm yelling at you. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to run it back next year. We expect that all this is all of a sudden going to magically be changed. Yeah. We should dance more after big plays.
Hey, look, Kadarius Toney, man, nothing like getting cocky down 20 points in the fourth quarter after doing absolutely nothing and flipping a football. That guy should have been benched. He should not have seen the field.
He shouldn't even have been out there. Shouldn't even have been out there in the first place. Everything is just an experiment to see what wheels anybody has left instead of actually trying to put together a football team.
That's my problem with all of this right now. Well, and that's why I just don't care if DTR plays. I mean, we're at the let's throw some stuff against the wall and hope something sticks phase.
That's what putting
DTR on the field is.
But to me, that's what putting Kadarius Toney out there was. Right. Well, let's see whatever happens here. Yeah. So we're just never going to take each other seriously on this. Then what the hell is anybody calling in and say? And we did have this call. Well, I don't want to put Dorian Thompson Robinson out there because it's against Kansas City. Want to wait until they play somebody worse? Okay, even though they're all professionals, There's no gimme games on there because you're a 3-10 football team. Hell, I'd say that there is. Healthy as they're going to be, as they are right now, for a Week 15 team, might as well put him out there. Put him out there against talent. He can either do it or he can't.
Right.
He probably can't, but at least he has the chance to prove me wrong.
That's how you find out what you got. You put them in Kansas City's the standard, people.
But what now, what I'm upset about, well, I got another thought about that, but that's probably for later this week about who the actual standard is. But it bothers me, Daryl, to a umpteenth degree, because I feel like I'm the only one angry about this. Nobody else is angry. The callers aren't angry. He's not angry. Right. You're not angry. I'm the only one who's somewhat agitated about any of this right now.
I'm
the clown. I'm the fool.
No, I most certainly would never call you a clown or a fool.
You can call me either.
I'll make the chubby jokes, but I will not call you a clown or a fool.
Well, again, but I might as well do it because I was the one who was telling people at least I was entertained back on Monday night.
Well,
I was entertained.
I was right there with
you.
That's
where we set a bar. We set the bar at entertainment.
I mean, hey, if you're going to be bad, at least be fun. Right?
We've had a lot of bad and not fun teams.
No.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We have had a lot of, not only are they unwatchable, they're horrible to be around, and they are just not fun to watch at all.
On the 16-17 teams, when they were bad and bad with a purpose, at least we could have tried to say to have fun then. This is way too expensive. This is way too expensive.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if this were a movie right now, you never let the director direct again.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question Andrew Berry's had a terrible season with this roster.
I mean, right now, the only way... I hope he pulls this out. If I'm going to make another movie analogy, Daryl, I hope this gets pulled out the way that Coppola did Apocalypse Now, where for years it looked like that thing was going to be a disaster and just this money suck hole, and then ended up being one of the greatest movies ever made. I hope it ends up being that, but I can't see it right now. I can't see it.
Good news for you. It sounds like the salary cap's going up $10 to $20 million next year, and the Browns going to need every penny of that.
But I got, you know, and I want to, like Jack Duffin says, we're not in a bad spot. So I got one guy who says we're not in a bad spot. Everybody else tells me that we're in a terrible situation. That's not even a knock on him. I just want to know why we're not in a bad spot, or at least where he's right and everybody's wrong. I want to believe him. I want to believe that we're right, that he's right. You guys are all wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he does a great job with the salary cap analysis. The sticky wicket here is the Watson contract and getting around that. They're not getting out of it. They owe him what they owe him. But how do you get around that contract, in which now the next 2 years your cap hits are over $70 million, and then you have a dead cap hit of, I think it's $26 million in change in 2027, the year that he's not going to be here. Berry did this with the thought that it was going to be, and these are his words, not mine, a 10-year investment. And no, it's not. It's 3 years too long investment already, and they've got two more to go. And look, it helps that the cap is going up by the amount that they're forecasting it to. That's going to give them some flexibility here. But it's not just Deshaun, though. I mean, you gave a 3-year, $15 million extension to a kicker that can't make kicks. You have
is he
aging...
gone this morning, by the way?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
I'm just asking. I don't revel in that.
No, I know, but I mean, if you get rid of him, then you. I mean, look, I think next year there's a chance the Browns could lead the world in dead money. Like, I mean, that's the thing we're going to be watching this offseason is how Andrew Berry works the salary cap now. They've got an expensive, aging offensive line. You've got a couple of guys on defense you gave contracts to that aren't playing up to those contracts. Like, there are legit tangible concerns about this thing going forward. I just don't feel like this is a flash in the pan, mulligan style year. I think that there is a deep problem here somewhere. Why this football team is 3-10, constantly shooting themselves in the foot, constantly doing things that just don't make sense at times. They play up to their standard and to everyone's standards in spurts, but they're not able to maintain that. Every little mistake they make bites them in the backside. I think that there's a lot of problems that need to be addressed and need to be fixed, both on the field and to some degrees behind the scenes. Because again, like the Kadarius Toney thing, he should never, you're absolutely right, should never been on the field yesterday. Once he got that taunting penalty, should have never been put back on the field. That was a teachable moment for Kevin Stefanski to send a message to his team. This ain't funny. We're not clowning around. And but what does he do? Wheels the dude out there and, you know, he muffs a punt and really, I mean, they had already lost the game, but that was the final nail in the coffin. So, and I plan to ask Kevin about that. Why was that guy put back on the field? And then he's in the locker room like, I don't know why I got a flag. Well, then you are a very self-unaware player and you shouldn't be playing for this football.
Well, that's why he's on the Browns practice squad at this point instead of still with the New York Giants.
Daryl.
Or the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Daryl, quickly, Jim Schwartz, is he guaranteed to be back as defensive coordinator?
I'm not going to say guaranteed, but I mean, they've got some roster problems on that side of the ball too.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Are those problems that have surfaced throughout the
health,
year that you
health and performance problems.
Okay.
Man, they've had Myles Garrett all year. Pretty healthy. They've had Denzel Ward.
At least Mamu Diabate played his ass off yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He's been.
Well, he's good.
I'm wondering.
Like him.
If he's been one of those bright spots this year, and hopefully that is a Barry Fine. But then again, we were saying the same thing a year ago about MJ Emerson, and then you know he's had the season he's had, and now we find out he's been playing through a calf injury, and maybe that explains some of this. And again, we talk ourselves into circles, into trying to believe things instead of just believing what our eyes see.
Well, that's almost the only thing that I could believe anymore with MJ Emerson. I can't believe the guy would play that well last year and then have that good a camp against the days against the Vikings and then go out there and be like that.
Yeah. No, I hear you, but... that's where we're
so
at,
I hope
kid.
That's the case.
We're talking ourselves. I think we're at the point now where we're talking about everything's gonna be fine next year. They're gonna be back next year, and I'm not so sure.
Daryl, thank you for the time. I'll talk to you Friday.
You bet, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you very much. Juan Soto signed with the New York Mets. Now, usually we wouldn't care because we weren't ever in the actual conversation about Juan Soto at all. Former Yankee slugger, now Mets slugger. He signed a 15-year deal worth $765 million, which will give him $51 million a year. And he will not be no longer under the Mets' power until all of our kids are... No, my kids are all graduated high school. Your kids will still have some high school left on them. And he'll still be a New York Met, or at least under contract with the New York Mets by the time that's done. So that's a uber long deal. I don't think you care, and we weren't really going to talk about it much. However, they do care in New York, our sister station, WFAN in New York. They had John Heyman on. We've had John Heyman on this show, MLB Network, Insider, the whole thing. He was on with a guy named Keith McPherson, who is the evening host there, correct? The evening host he took over for the Schmoozer over at WFAN. And Friday night, it started out where Keith McPherson, there is a long line of people saying that they allege, and I think it's an internet thing, they allege that John Heyman may be on the take from Scott Boras, which is a hell of an accusation. Not that we're accusing that. We don't know. We don't believe so. At least I don't.
What, that he's getting paid?
Paid by Scott Boras.
To do what?
To put out news for Scott Boras's clients. The things that would pump up the sale. A pump and dump for baseball players, apparently, here, is what this turns into, is what he's accused of by fans. Not that there's any evidence of it, anything whatsoever. Well, apparently Keith McPherson made a joke about it at the beginning of their hit together, and John Heyman, not a fan.
At some point, I think someone could probably drop it if they're a nice person.
What I think is it just like how I introduced you. Everybody in baseball knows who you are. So one, it's a credit to your work, your following,
yeah,
and how.
By the way, I won't be going out with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
That's okay.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious. Yeah,
John,
asking me if I'm getting a cut because I have a relationship with an agent. That's outrageous. I know you're not a journalist. You don't know anything about this. I know you get, you don't, But that's an outrageous comment. You should know that.
It's Friday night at 8:30, John.
You should know that much.
And I'm not taking this that serious.
Goodbye.
John, thank you for joining us.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your time.
Come on.
You're courtesy of WFAN.
We have had Heyman on so many times, and I've never heard him get as loud as he got at the end of that one.
Well, because he usually acts like he's doing us the biggest favor in the world by ever coming on our radio show. Now, I don't know this Keith McPherson guy, and maybe it wasn't right for him to take the shot. I'm not going to even act like I'm defending the guy. I don't know the guy. So I'm not going to sit there and defend a person I don't know, and I didn't hear any of the real. I heard a little bit before that, and I heard a little bit after it, obviously. But I've never listened to him enough to know him. I don't know if I'd like him, I'd hate him, I have no idea. But I know that John Heyman's been on with us a couple of times, and it's been basically like, this is the biggest favor I'm ever going to give you. And he's acted like that. He's had frankly, he's had the sense of humor of a casket. He's not really been a lot of fun to talk to, so I could see him getting worked up. However, he's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
A journalist, so maybe he would get upset if you said he was on the take.
I can't even believe it.
I love the 0 to 100 instantly.
Can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
I know you're not a journalist. I can't even believe it.
So it shows you this has gotten to him over the years.
Oh yeah.
Like I didn't even know. I'm not really in that world, and I don't know much about the baseball insiders. Other than, he had the Shane Bieber deal.
Yeah.
So that's
good for him.
That's why we've had him on. He's obviously got great relationships with people in our front office because he's broken some of those stories. The fact that he got that irate about it shows you that this critique over time has definitely bothered him. Because he probably, let's be honest, does he really know who Keith McPherson is?
Probably not. Well, if he's on there all the time, if he's on WFAN with any regularity, then he probably does. Right?
I will have to say, too, Ken, I think you probably would not like Keith McPherson.
Why?
I'm on his website right now. He sells McPherson brand merchandise.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.
So you can have a Keith McPherson hoodie for 65 bones.
$65 for a Keith McPherson hoodie?
Yes.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.
He's got the merch store.
Okay, I didn't expect to laugh at that. How much would they pay for an Anthony Lima hoodie?
Now you gotta ask. I couldn't even come up with a number.
I can't even believe it.
So you could either buy some Deshaun Watson gear, you can go to his website to get that, or you can get Keith McPherson toiletries.
I'd rather have the Keith McPherson toiletries.
I can't even believe it.
He's got like a catchphrase on
here. He's got hoodies.
Yeah.
If his catchphrase doesn't change to I can't even believe it.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that.
It looks like his catchphrase must be your Y-E-R-R-R-R-R.
He did say later on, he's like, John had to go to bed, which I thought was a hell of a line. He's got $65 hoodies. I would pay the hoodies. Can you get a hoodie for under $40? $50?
No, the t-shirts are $35.
$35 for a Keith McPherson t-shirt?
Yeah.
I would give you $20 for an Anthony Lima t-shirt.
Stop playing Frank when we... I can't tell. The strings from the hoodie are coming down the... they're over the words, so I can't read.
I'm busy going to McPherson.com.
How much would you pay for an Anthony Lima hoodie?
I'd pay $38.
$38? So could you get the price point at $35 and sell 10 Anthony Lima hoodies?
Well, you could do a cameo with Keith McPherson.
How much?
It's been disabled. The link's been disabled.
I can't even believe it.
I can't believe this. This is. I did not know he had his own merch that you could sell. His hoodies and his shirts and the whatnot. Hey, he's an enterprising young man. Congratulations. I don't even know how old he is. Congratulations to him. Maybe he sells it by the truckload, and I don't even
could
know.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're missing out.
Who knows? But, John Heyman. I know you're not a journalist. Well, he was upset.
So if we have him on, we can't even talk to him about Scott Boras' clients or what?
You better not joke with me about Scott Boras.
They're no jokes.
I can't even believe it. You're bringing this up in Cleveland, of all places.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.
Mitch, do you have his phone number?
I'll have to check.
Lose my number.
We've had him on. Someone's got to have his phone number. Check
Don't
in with
call
him.
Me.
Make sure he's okay. You know what? Ask him if he wants any Keith McPherson merchandise.
You should send him a Keith McPherson shirt.
This is what we get him for Christmas.
This is your Christmas
or
gift. Your
holiday gift. Yeah.
I don't have it. I'll try to get it.
Yeah. So why don't you ask him, say the morning show would like to do you something very nice, very solid.
I don't want to buy Keith McPherson gear, though.
If anything, Keith McPherson needs to change his merchandise to reflect this incident on the radio.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.
Again, there needs to be a quote, a Keith McPherson hoodie. I can't even believe it. And then there you go. At least that's something to make me laugh today. Is the joke on me because I'm the only one who's angry?
I think you're just mad at the Steelers.
No,
because we've had losses this year.
Because like I'm trying to get your goat, and I thought I'm fighting not to get mad at you. I really am. I'm fighting not to get mad at you and Daryl and everybody else. Like this is just washed over you. Like you've kind of accepted that this is what it is. I'm like, guys, we're in serious trouble here. And now I'm getting frustrated because it's like I'm the only one sounding the alarm in the room. That this is a serious DEFCON 1 situation we are in right now. Because it's not just about bad football. We've been losing. I think there's apathy that could set in here. Or that it's currently setting in and that could again. Because now that we've tasted success, and I keep talking about this contract that we can't get out from under, I'm afraid that there could be apathy that sets in here, Anthony. Like, well, Kenny, I want you to get mad.
That's what I wanted to point out. Nobody was mad that I was watching a game with yesterday. It was jokes. It was that kind of apathy. It was same old Browns, but we're not going to ruin our Sunday. We're going to go out and have fun while this disgrace is unfolding and getting worse. And I mean, there was hope before the game. There was hope. Hey, Jameis already beat him once. Can he beat him again? And then I think people realize, oh yeah, that's why Jameis Winston is still Jameis Winston. Because you see, Jameis has all the talent in the world. He had a play, you know, on that touchdown, that was a third and long where you're like, this is not a situation you want to be in against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he calmly maneuvered in the pocket, stepped up, hit Judy. And then you're like, why can't that guy be really good? And then you watch more of the game and you're like, oh, that's why Jameis. That's why that's the Jameis Winston we all know.
I don't want you to listen. I always want you to tell the truth how you see it. I don't want you to fake anything. But I'm just so afraid of what these next few years could hold. And I don't want that apathy there. Like there was still like we could BS ourselves 2016 and 17. Like there was supposed to be a reason for it. We could BS ourselves into it. There's going to be sunny days again. This seems like it's going to be cloudy for a very long period of time. And I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. And people don't trust the guy making the decisions. Like there's somebody saying, well, you're backtracking on Andrew Berry. I don't trust him to make the decisions.
They can't be your GM. You just flat out can't be your GM if you don't trust the guy.
But I gotta find somebody better. I don't trust him to make the decisions. How clear can I be? How could I deny that everything that's gone on, except for some wide receiver trades, everything that's gone on has been bad? Mahmoud Diabate does not change my full opinion.
Or Jerry Judy?
Jerry Judy does not change my full opinion. And I don't think he has enough time left in the season to change my opinion.
No.
So now I go into the offseason, and I will be shaking nervous the night of the draft. Shaking nervous. On my dead mother, I'm telling you. Because if they can't get this right here over this year, and we can't hit on some of these young guys, I don't know when it's going to happen again for people. And I think that's a major tune out for a lot of fans. I got a Cavs team that's kicking ass and taking names, except when they play in South Beach, but that's explainable. It's South Beach. I got a baseball team that the Mets signed Juan Soto. I don't care. I don't care about that. My baseball team's a good baseball team. And I got a football team that is outrageously expensive that took 8 years to put together and now looks like they're stuck in this circular room where they're just running around like Homer Simpson doing the chicken thing when he was running the rooster, when he was running around in circles doing the whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, that's what it is now. I don't want people to not care. I care about the team. I care about the situation. And I feel like I feel like I'm weeks late to this with people. And some of that, and I feel bad, it's my fault because I said they were entertaining on Monday night.
I agreed with you, though. They were.
But you ain't me. You ain't me. You're not. You see things a little bit more pragmatic than me in some of these cases. But damn it, if we ain't mad about it, then who's going to get mad? If the guys doing it on the air don't care, then why the hell should they? Think about that.
Kenny, I think when they made the Watson move, that was their everything in the middle. All the chips pushed into the middle. And then what happens when you lose? When you lose that bet and you push everything in, it just so happens that this also hurts you for the foreseeable future.
I'm not going to fake it. This is like my last stand. If they go out there and they get hammered against the Dolphins on December 29th, am I going to come in the next day screaming and yelling and firing brimstone? No, it's washed over me. Like, it's washed over all of you guys. Like, it's washed over all of you. Apathy has officially set in, and it terrifies me. All right. Coming up next.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Boy, some crazy anomaly games from time to time in the NFL are always really interesting. Don't know how much you've paid attention after that Browns loss yesterday to the 4 o'clock window and the Buffalo Bills and the Rams. It was an absolute shootout. Boy, Matt Stafford was incredible as the Rams put up 44 points to hand the Bills only their third loss of the year. But what was so special about this game? I don't know. Probably had something to do with Josh Allen, because entering the day, teams with at least 6 touchdowns and 0 giveaways in a game were 245-0 in the Super Bowl era, including the playoffs. The Bills became the first team to ever score 6 touchdowns, not turn it over once, and lose this game 44-42. There was a blocked punt that was pretty significant. Do we think those should count as turnovers?
Yeah.
Should count as something?
Stupid plays.
I always wonder about that. And yet, turnover on downs, what do we do with that? Because it's turnover in the phrase.
I always your whole thought, defense did that.
Though. I always thought a turnover on down should count as a turnover.
Right.
I read your defensive stats, but you can't give it to an individual.
I know, but I should count it as a team turnover. It should still be in the plus or minus mark.
I never understood why that was the case.
I don't understand either. Like, you've made a tremendous play to make a stop. Well, unless you decide to run a pitch out again on 4th and 1.
Like, think about it this way.
4th and a foot.
Well, at least it wasn't jet sweep this time.
That's true.
Was it a pitch out? I blacked out. I don't even remember if it was a pitch out.
It was not run it the 2 feet in front of you.
Well, Cedric Tillman wasn't available in this game. That's why they couldn't do a jet sweep.
By the way, Josh Allen had
gave it to Tony.
424 total yards, 6 touchdowns. He had a 30-yard touchdown run. It was a wild one, but maybe a little more cushion now for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kadarius Toney could have shuffled like he was in a basketball passing drill instead of going for the first down. Would have been well.
Mitch's
wild thing.
Less than a month ago, the Arizona Cardinals were a surprising first-place team in the powerhouse NFC West. Today, they are tied with the Niners for dead last following a 38-10 loss to Seattle. That's a third straight loss for the Cards. And head coach Jonathan Gannon says the team needs to figure out how to win again.
You know, disappointing loss. You know, didn't play our best ball there. I got to find some answers to get us going a little bit because we haven't played great here the last couple weeks. So that falls on me. Got to go back to the drawing board tomorrow, get these things corrected, put them in better position, and got to win a game.
They're such a weird team. They had won 4 in a row. Now they've lost 3 in a row. And Sometimes you watch Kyler Murray and you're like, this guy is sensational. And then really the last few weeks it's been like, this guy should not be the starting quarterback any longer for an NFL football team.
You take the good, you take the bad. You know what happens.
Not finishing that line.
Owen?
Owen's Wild Thing.
Oh, yeah, that was a show.
So this is a two-team race for me here. First, it was Minnesota. They beat Atlanta. You know, Kirk Cousins got booed. Everybody hates him in Minnesota now because he left them, I guess. So, but the other thing that comes from it is Tampa Bay beat the Las Vegas Raiders, which is Baker Mayfield, and, you know, he has a tie here. What's the wild stat, though, is a month ago, these two teams were in flip-flop positions. A month ago, the Atlanta Falcons were minus 1,000 to win the NFC South. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were plus 500. Atlanta was 6-3. Tampa Bay was 4-6. You flip-flop that now. Tampa's in the lead now. Tampa has, in 4 weeks, erased a three-game deficit for them. They now have a one-game lead in the NFC South, and Kirk Cousins looks like his career might be done.
He has been horrendous.
I can't believe they booed him as he took the field. I was surprised by that. I thought, you know, the term is Minnesota nice. They booed him as he took the field. I go, aren't you guys in a much better position? Wow. Why would you boo him?
That's true.
Now, I'm not anti-boo. In fact, I'm pro-boo. I'm not pro anything else, but I'm pro-boo. I am yay boo. I'm fine with that. I really don't want you to say anything else because that can get pretty surly and pretty ugly. But I'm fine with booing. But I want to boo for the right reasons. You're 11-2. You booed them coming out of you're in a much better position than the Falcons are. They've lost four in a row. They are taking on water. Heat's coming after Raheem Morris now. Not good down there in Atlanta.
And finally, Ken.
Ken's Wild Thing.
Oh. Well, made it even worse yesterday because you're 3-10. And draft positioning is very, very important. And I thought that the Giants could at least take it to overtime, have the possibility. Remember, they scored 8 unanswered in overtime. And could at least have the possibility of, or in the fourth quarter, to take it to overtime. And if they would have won, you'd have both been 3-10. But you would have had the tie break since you lost to the Giants. But Graham Gano had... He had other plans. It's actually Brian Breesy who had blocked the punt or blocked the field goal. 4th and 15 of the New Orleans 17. Graham Gano missed a 35-yard field goal, got blocked by the New Orleans defensive tackle. No good. 14-11. Final score. Saints are 5-8. Not that any of that matters.
Yeah.
The Giants 2-11, and it directly affects us.
I do have a question.
I have an answer.
Derek Carr. I see more and more NFL media and what is being written about down there in the bayou, Kenny.
Oh, God, here we go. I know where this is going.
Could you consider Derek Carr?
Derek Carr.
As a Cleveland Browns starting quarterback.
216-474-0092, Derek Carr.
Might as well just bring up Taysom Hill, too, and we can get all of last year's Saints quarterbacks on this.
He plays hard.
Okay, Carr has 15 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Jameis Winston plays hard.
Yeah, isn't that our bar now?
Is he a better option, though, than Jameis Winston?
Isn't that our bar? Derek Carr?
Yeah.
All right, what are we going to do after week 3? He's going to get hurt. He got hurt in this game.
Played 17 games last year, 15 games in 2022, 17 in 2021, 16 in 2020, 16 in 2019, 16 in 2018. He's been pretty healthy, pretty durable.
Tell me winning seasons now with all those.
Now, wait a minute now. Hold on. All right, you want to go out and get Derek Carr? Get Derek Carr.
I just saw a lot of people bailing on Jameis Winston.
What do you mean?
That's don't a horrible support idea.
That. Is his
Derek,
name?
Is Derek Carr is a horrible idea.
What's Derek Carr's name?
Derek Carr.
Is it Deshaun Watson?
I just said it.
Is it Deshaun Watson? Okay, then it's a better idea. Champions pose.
You're dumb.
I know.
That's dumb.
No, it's true.
You're dumb.
It's right. I'm right.
You can't
I'm smart.
Go, oh,
I'm
look right. at this I'm fire smart. Over here.
I'm right.
I didn't even talk about that fire. Mm-mm. You're not Mm-mm. right. You're Mm-mm. a loser.
Nope.
You're
a winner.
Derek
I'm a winner.
Carr.
No, I'm not a winner.
What was wild around the league? Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
fair.
I can't say I'm a winner. I'm not a winner, but I'm not
I'll
a loser
just turn
in this
off
case.
Your mic again.
Derek Carr's 500 in his last five seasons as an NFL starting quarterback. So 500. Now he played.
Bring in Derek Carr.
Played for the Raiders.
Yeah. What do you got to say to that?
The Saints.
What do you got to say to that? There, Owen. Huh?
He's
what
a loser,
there,
and you're a loser.
Would he be good with Stefanski?
Everybody's good with Another Stefanski. Loser. I don't know. Somebody just told us in our mentions that Patrick Mahomes would be a bust under Kevin Stefanski. That was a former D1 quarterback who tweeted that at us. I go, come on, you surely don't believe this. Like, I don't know what Kevin Stefanski did to you. I don't know if it's a personal thing. It has to be a vendetta at this point with some folks. Patrick Mahomes would be a bust. Josh Allen would be a bust.
I think those guys are pretty coach-proof.
Joe Flacco had a really great season last year at the end of the year. Instilled the magic. I mean, nothing's going to be... Oh, and that's the ultimate trump card in any of this. You can name me all the bad quarterbacks, and I'm the person who said last week, adding bad to bad doesn't make good, but it's better than what you could go with. I'm open to all of it. That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead. Bring in Derek Carr. Bring in David Carr.
You sound like a drunk on the radio.
I'm a drunk. I'm a former drunk. I'm a hungover person on the radio.
You know what?
What?
I'm team Heyman on this one.
Thank you, John.
I can't even believe it.